When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tactic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
And it's Paul Santos filling in for Tim Meisberg today, the final hour of the show this morning. Beautiful Friday morning here in New Bedford. Temperature up to 68 degrees. High temperature today in the low 80s, as you heard a few moments ago from our meteorologist. Tomorrow is going to be another beautiful day and beautiful evening. Great day to celebrate my birthday, by the way. And then on Sunday, another great day, but some showers in the afternoon. But we can't complain. I mean, the weather has just been terrific. It's been a great summer so far. We'll be heading into August. Right around the corner, the Festa, baby. The Feast of the Blessed Sacrament coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hopefully the weather cooperates. I know every year people on the committee there hoping that it doesn't rain. And, of course, this year they just finally have women on the feast. We did the whole show about women festators. And my cousin Jane Gonsalves, former city councilor, very instrumental in finally putting that through and persuading folks over there that women should be on the feast committee. So I think that's a great thing. It's about time. This is 2024 after all. And so I believe my cousin Jane is going to serve next year, not this year, but next year. So good for her. And I think it'll be nice for the families that have worked so hard on the feast all these years and to finally be able to serve as a festato. Hey, that's a wonderful thing. Even in the old country, right? This feast is supposed to be patterned after the one in Madeira. And the one in Madeira had the women in before the one here in New Bedford. So figure that out. You would think that the old country would be more traditional than here, and it turns out that the one here was actually a little bit behind the times. Well, I want to talk about a positive story here. I've been promoting positive stuff. In fact, I'm going to play a clip again one more time. I'm going to play it because I know the audience is different throughout the different hours. But it's a clip by an author by the name of H.W. Brands, who talks about how we need to have political discourse that is not so combative, not so inflammatory. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But first, I want to talk about a positive story that my friend Chris Santos sent me. My friend Chris Santos and I, we do a podcast called Santos on Sports. And if you go to YouTube and you look it up, Facebook, you can find it. We're actually on kind of a summer hiatus, but we're going to be back very shortly as the Red Sox proceed into possible playoffs. I don't know about that, the way they've been losing games lately, but the Patriots are just around the corner. The Bruins and the Celtics will be up and running pretty soon. So it's going to be some great, great, you know, performances by those teams and a lot of things going on in the fall. But as far as the Red Sox, right? The Red Sox, they went into the All-Star break on a tear. They had the wild card slot sewn up. And then what ended up happening after that? They've been on a nosedive ever since. So if the season ended today, they wouldn't even be in the playoffs. So I don't know. They just extended Alex Cora for 3 years. And Alex Cora will be the manager. I think that's a good thing. I think he's been a good manager. But what I wanted to talk about, a positive story here, is out of Fall River, as a youth, Wilfredo Abar could never seem to elude trouble from where he grew up in Fall River. High school was no different for him either. As a freshman, the Fall River native was kicked off the Durfee football team after playing just 5 games because of his bad behavior. And he says in a newspaper article, Standard Times, "I was a hyper kid that got into a lot of trouble. I was suspended every other week and had trouble with just about everybody. But since then, the now Stanford senior linebacker has completely turned his life around, entering his final collegiate year this fall as a Cardinal. After 1 year at Durfee, Ibar moved on to Cheshire Academy, a co-educational college preparatory school located in Cheshire, Connecticut, for 3 years. He received 27 different offers from colleges before selecting Stanford. So here's what he says about this experience. For one, it was a culture shock, he said. It was a lot different than Fall River. That helped me to be in a more structured environment. I was seeing how football was supposed to be played with a lot of Division I football players there. The work ethic to go to the next level and having those role models and other brothers that got me through Cheshire. Now, underlining the word, this is what my friend Chris Santos wanted to underline, the structure, the fact that he had a more structured environment, right? That's what really helped him turn around. And a lot of these kids don't have structure. They don't have the parenting. You know, I work down in juvenile court, and I deal with DCF cases where kids are removed from their parents. A lot of these kids, I look at them, and I'm thought, wow, you know, I'm so lucky that I landed where I did, right? No family is perfect, and ours wasn't perfect. But I was so lucky to land where I did, where you had structure, you had role models, you had people you could look up to, you could pick things up as you went along, you could see how things were done properly, you tried to learn a little bit of integrity, and you proceeded along, worked hard in school, and did what you're supposed to do. A lot of these kids, they just don't have that structure. They just don't have the parenting. And it's really sad to see because, you know, I don't know how I would have done if I had had the hand dealt to me like some of these kids. Now, I'm not making excuses, you know, but I hear people say, well, okay, I became an attorney. I went to school. I studied hard and I became what I am. And that other person didn't. So, you know, that's their problem. No. Time out. Yes, I did work hard in school. I did study hard in college. I did work hard in law school. I went and became a prosecutor and learned how to do trials and so forth. So yes, I am proud of those accomplishments and the accomplishments in broadcasting and things of that sort. But if I didn't land where I landed, you know, there's no way I would have been able to proceed in the fashion that I did. I had every advantage. I was so lucky. And some of these kids, right, I don't think I would be where I am if it had been a situation where I landed somewhere else. So I can pat myself on the back and say, good for you, Paul. You did this and you did that while somebody else didn't. But that other person never had a chance. Just what Chris Markey was saying the other day on Chris's show, it's intervention. We have to get in there and intervene and try to show these kids that there's other ways besides getting gang involved and getting in with the bad groups and running the streets and all that stuff. I see it every day in juvenile court, and it's sad. So I think that there are more steps that can be taken. You know, talk about crime. I think with probably the exception of Chicago, the murder numbers are down, and there was a spike during COVID. People were all cooped up and everything, so the numbers are back down again. And so that's a good thing. But, you know, the situation is such that, you know, many of the shootings and many of the murders, they happen in these areas where people are hopeless. They only see one thing, join the gang because they show love. But it's not really love that they're showing. They're just giving you attention. You're an impressionable 14, 15, 16-year-old. And you think the cool thing to do is to go into a gang. You don't think it's a cool thing to do to study hard and make something of yourself. So intervention, that's really a big thing. And I was just happy to see this young man from Durfee who didn't have the structure but went to this very strict school, had role models, saw what these other Division I players were doing, and now is making something of himself. That's what you love to see. So what about that? That's something that I think we can all agree on, whether you're left of center, right of center, or whatever you are. And then it was another interesting story, not interesting, unfortunate story that Phil Devitt was talking about. Judge Dupree out of the Superior Court basically tossing a case because the New Bedford police officer had been in a relationship with the informant. So somebody might say, well, gee, why did the case have to go down? Maybe the person had illegal drugs and so forth. Well, the problem is that if you have an informant and they're in a relationship with the informant or the police officer is, now you can't really trust the information. Now you might say, well, the information might still be accurate. Well, it might be, but it's also tainted. So shame on the officer for being in a relationship. Hey, if you're in a relationship with somebody, you're in a relationship with somebody. Good for you. love is love, but that person shouldn't be an informant. And if that's the case, then not only should there be an investigation, but I can't really blame the judge Dupree for allowing the motion to suppress and having the case basically tossed. You know, Renee Dupree, she's a judge up in Superior Court. You know, I started my career as a prosecutor maybe like a year or two after her. And then I started my career in 1986. And who came in the same time I did? Tom Quinn, the current district attorney. So Tom Quinn was there. Renee Dupree was there. Chris Markey, who was on Chris's show the other day, we worked together in the DA's office. I was actually a prosecutor, and he was a victim witness advocate. And then he was going to law school, and he became an attorney, and a fine attorney he is. I happened to be in there one day when he was finishing up a trial, and he was right on the money. And I know I'm a very good trial attorney, too. You know, I'm not somebody like the former president who likes to boast a little bit. But I had a court officer tell me after I was done with the trial, and I really got into this trial, when I was in the DA's office, and he told me, he says, hey, you know, you might be the best trial attorney I've ever seen in all these years that I've been a court officer. I was like, gee, what a wonderful compliment that is. And so you say, well, that he also does broadcasting. Well, broadcasting and being an attorney, there are some similarities. So we're on the radio and I'm talking for a living. I tell my wife, if I ever lose my voice, I'm finished, because I do radio, I do television, and I talk to the judge. And if I can't use my voice, then that's basically going to be it. So, again, it's interesting how broadcasting and practicing law and going in front of the judge, there are some similarities there, but it's too bad that a case got tossed for that reason. That is unfortunate. You don't want to see that happen, but I can understand the judge's ruling that you can't trust the case now. You can't trust the case now because the information provided is tainted. So anyway, give us a call, 508-996-0500. One of the questions we had on deck here, where did you go for ice cream when you were a kid? And the reason why I had that question out there is because there was a survey or a study that was done that said if you eat ice cream once a week, you have a better chance of living till 90. I'm thinking, geez, my dad lived till 90. I don't remember if he had ice cream once a week. I know he ate every piece of food that you put in front of him. I know that. But I don't remember him eating ice cream once a week. But if that's what it takes, I'm going to go out and get some ice cream right after this. One of my favorites is espresso brownie fudge. That's an awesome one. And chocolate chip. I still like chocolate chip, but we used to go to Salvador's. Did anybody go to Salvador's when you were a kid? Somebody called and said they went to Gulf Hill. Somebody also said they went to a place in Little Compton, Rhode Island. So where did you go? Where did you go to get ice cream? And this whole thing about if you eat ice cream once a week, that's good for you. I find that hard to believe. One of our callers said, wait a minute, with all that sugar and everything, I can't be right. Well, that's what the survey said. Not the survey, but it was more of a, I think it was some kind of analysis that was done, some kind of a study. But I do find that one hard to believe. You can't believe everything you read on the internet. Remember that. We already know that. Back in a moment on WBSM. Yes, a positive song right there. King Harvest from 1971, Dancing in the Moonlight. One of my favorite songs. Just such a relaxing, cool song. You know, we were down in Florida and there was a lady singing that song. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I used to love that song, Dancing in the Moonlight. What a great song with some great words and positivity. And so that's a nice one to be playing here. I'm having a lot of fun here because I finally figured out how to get to this music library here. And so I can play just about anything I want. So I felt like hearing some Tavares. Being proud of New Bedford, we put it on. I want to hear some Kool and the Gang, put that one on. Want to hear some Earth, Wind, and Fire? Put that on. King Harvest, a little bit of anything we can use when we return to the show from a commercial break. So anyway, that was a lot of fun. Give us a call here, 508-996-0500. Where did you eat ice cream when you were growing up in the area? For us, it was pile in the car and go to South Dartmouth and go to Salvador's. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that. What about the fact that Gavin Newsom, who's a very liberal governor of California, he's the first guy that wants to break down the homeless encampments. So should we do that here in New Bedford? Should we do that in Massachusetts? I was just surprised that it was Governor Newsom. I thought it might be someone like the governor of Texas or some other governor that was more right of center ideologically. So the fact that it was Gavin Newsom kind of surprised me, but I know they have a problem out there in California. Let's go to line one. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, my friend.
Hi.
You know who this is?
Not yet.
Oh, come on. Your comedy director's out in California. You must feel lost. That means you're going to rely on chops.
Let me see. Is this Randy?
Not even close.
All right, go ahead. Keep talking. I'll figure it out.
Okay, who's involved in football?
Who's involved in football? Phil.
There you go.
Phil, I haven't seen you in so long. How are you?
Good, good. My Mondays are finally freed up again. I might be there next week.
Oh, good. You know, that the last time I saw you, that the football team was supposed to be there, but I don't think they made it. And then right after that, I never saw you again. I don't know, were you ill or you just had you've been ill?
No,
right?
No. My Mondays changed. My priorities on Mondays had to change for a little while.
Oh, okay. So now they're open again.
Yep.
See, that'd be fun to see. Yeah, we've been picking up more regulars. We have more regulars in the audience, so it's a lot of fun.
Well, good. Yeah, we're 4-0 again this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, we were undefeated again. We went and won the championship down to Florida. And we're 4-0. And so things are moving along.
Well, you know what we can do is, you know, give me a shout. We'll pick a date.
Yep.
And you can come again and we'll have, you know, the captain of the team or the manager or wherever you want to come on the show.
The National Trophy and the Lee Trophy.
Yeah, we'll put them on the TV show. It'd be great. Yeah, it'd be fantastic. Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with the TV show, I have to tell you. And by the way, people that don't know about it, it's called the Paul Santos Live Show. It's a TV show. It's on Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, Channel 95, in New Bedford, Dartmouth, Fayetteville, and Acushnet, all around the area. You can see it on YouTube, Facebook. But then you can also see it on Channel 6, which is so much fun, this Sunday, 10:30 a.m. So Sunday, 10:30 a.m., the half-hour version of the show where we edit it down and make it nice and tight, and we put it on there. And it's so much fun. It's like the local version of The Tonight Show, and we highlight the talented, the interesting, and the entertaining from the area. How about that?
There you go. I got into it just as you were talking about that young man from Fall River. What was his name again?
Yeah, let me pull that up over here again. Chris Santos.
Cardinals.
Yeah, Chris Santos of Santos on Sports sent that to me. I'm going to be flipping through. I had a whole bunch of stuff on my phone queued up to talk about, but that was a great story. I mean, here's a kid who was having all kinds of problems. He wasn't doing what he's supposed to do. He then went to that school. Yeah, his name is Wilfredo Aybar, A-Y-B-A-R. And he's now at Stanford. He's a senior. And it was Cheshire Academy that he went to that kind of gave him the structure. He said it was a culture shock and how he had more structure and he had Division I players that he could look up to and so on. So it was really a great thing. It's nice to see a kid come around like that that was maybe going in the wrong direction. And, hey, sometimes athletics, that's the thing about athletics, Phil. You know this as well as anyone.
Oh, yeah.
You get them involved in athletics, and sometimes that the light bulb can go off, you know?
Some of the guys on our team, because back 15 years ago I was involved in the local team here, the Willow City Clippers, and to see some of those guys, even at that level, who retired, who now either own teams or come back as coaches or assistants. It's amazing to see that, especially if you knew a little bit of their personal life, and it turns them around, especially those who want to give back.
Right, exactly. Well, we had
the
Shane,
guys that I give that little extra time with, you.
Yeah, you know, we had Shane Harris on the show a few weeks ago when I filled in for Ken. You know, he became an actor.
Yeah.
He was on that Wailing City Clippers team, and
yes,
I had him on the TV show, too.
Yeah, when you commentated some of the games for them.
One of the games came down to a field goal at the very end of the game, and the field goal went through the uprights as the clock went down to zero. So that's a great game to call when it comes down to the last play like that.
Well, I'm glad you're here taking Tim's place because he's away down there in Pennsylvania.
Yep, he'll be coming back.
A safe trip back and forth.
Maybe he'll have a few stories to tell.
And real quick, as far as this attempt a couple of weeks ago on Donald Trump.
Yes, awful.
It's not about the personality of the individual. The stability of our nation and around the world. Anytime an attempt is made on the president of any country, it creates an unstabilization, people second guessing, it creates too much tension. It's a tinderbox right now.
No, it's horrific.
I'm very conscientious now. Just like when I was even a kid, when Reagan got shot, I was in high school. I don't get involved in political contacts right now.
Well, you know, in my lifetime, I was saying before, we think it's bad now. In my lifetime, it was John F. Kennedy when I was 3 years old. Then it was Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King. Then it was George Wallace. Then it was two attempts on Gerald Ford. And then the one on Reagan, all in about 17 years. It was like seven either assassinations or attempted assassinations in 17 years. I'm like, wow, I can't believe we had all those assassinations and attempted assassinations. And then there's been a long time where, you know, it seemed like the security has been good, but boy, did they ever blow it in that one. I just can't believe that they didn't secure that building. That is just horrific.
So many things went wrong, because I also was still working security and personal security and bonded security and stuff. And so many things. And last night I watched another new show, and they're showing some pictures and videos.
Yep.
And it's crazy. That the roof that the snipers were actually on for the Secret Service was at a higher pitch than that roof.
Wow.
So why was that building in clear sight, basically a little longer than the length of a football field from back of the end zone to the back of the end zone, basically that same distance left. I'm very familiar with that kind of distance. And he was up there for quite a while.
Yeah. I know. It's just a horrific failure. And you know, and I saw that individual who attempted to shoot Donald Trump, he was Googling not only Donald Trump, but he was Googling Biden, too, to see he was going to be around. I don't think it had to do with any particular person. I think he just wanted to go after a national figure. And so anybody on any side of the political spectrum should be horrified at this.
And Joe Biden, the reason why they had that specific team around Donald Trump that they did was a joke was made later that night that he only had the B team, like having the shorter woman, not because she's a woman, having a shorter person. Mm-hmm. So that dome they put above his body when they're trying to get him to the vehicle off the stage,
mm-hmm.
they shouldn't have a shorter person than the person you're protecting.
Oh, right, yeah, right, the person
because
was shorter,
could see
yeah,
his
right.
head the whole time.
Yeah, right.
You could see his head the whole time from the stage all the way over.
I know. All right. Hey, Phil, great to hear from you. Hope to see you soon.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you very much. All right. That person who's on line two, if you don't mind hanging on for just a moment, because we're going to go to our bottom of the hour news break. And then we'll be back with more of the Tim Weisberg Show. Paul Santos filling in.
The Obamas throw their support behind Kamala Harris, a popular airline making a big change about where you sit. And two superheroes could break records at the box office.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Barack and Michelle Obama are endorsing Kamala Harris in the Democratic race for president. The former president and first lady released a video showing Vice President Harris speaking on the phone with both of them.
I can't have this phone call without saying to my girl Kamala, I am proud of you. This is going to be historic.
Obama can be heard saying, quote, Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office. In a joint statement announcing the endorsement, the Obamas said, quote, there's no doubt in our mind that Kamala Harris has exactly what it takes to win this election and deliver for the American people. The House is approving a resolution condemning Harris for what Republican lawmakers say is her mishandling of the southern border. It passed with support from six Democrats. The Manhattan DA urging a judge not to overturn Donald Trump's hush money conviction. Jacqueline Carl reports.
In a filing made public Thursday, state prosecutors claim the Supreme Court's July 1st decision on presidential immunity for official acts made as president have no bearing on Trump's conviction on charges he falsified business records in New York. Trump's lawyers argue that certain pieces of evidence should not have been introduced during the hush money trial under the Supreme Court's new ruling. Trump was originally set to be sentenced on July 11th, but the judge delayed the sentencing until at least September 18th to consider Trump's arguments. Trump has denied any wrongdoing. Jacqueline Carl, NBC News Radio, New York.
French officials say the National Train Service has been targeted by several malicious acts ahead of the Paris Olympics. Tony Waterman with a story.
According to the rail operator, deliberate fires were started to damage facilities on three high-speed rail lines, paralyzing travel between Paris and the west, north, and east of the country. A fourth attack on the south line was foiled. The attacks have left thousands of travelers stranded at train stations. Officials say repairs are already underway, but could last the entire weekend, potentially impacting Olympic athletes. France's sports minister says they are working on alternative transport for any affected delegations. At this point, there is no evidence that the attack is related to the games. Tony Waterman, Paris.
Southwest Airlines getting rid of its open seating system. For the first time in its history, the low-fare carrier will move to assigned seating, allowing it to charge a premium for some seats on its planes. According to Southwest, when customers switch to one of their competitors, the number one reason they cite is Southwest's open seating policy. And Marvel Studios' Deadpool and Wolverine is expected to break the record for best opening weekend by an R-rated film. The third film of the Deadpool franchise projected to make between $160 and $170 million in its first weekend in theaters.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Red Sox back home at Fenway to play the New York Yankees. First of three games tonight at 7:10. And the Summer Olympics are here today, the opening ceremony from Paris.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Clear skies this morning, temperature in the mid-60s, low humidity, sunny 81 this afternoon, mostly clear, low 60s overnight. Tomorrow, kicking off the weekend with beautiful weather, sunny skies, temperature in the low 80s, a little bit of a change in the forecast for Sunday, threat for showers later on in the day. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Western Bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, "Brandy, fetch another round." She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say, "Brandy."
Great song, Brandy by Looking Glass. And the lead singer is still around. I looked him up one time. He was out in California, and of course he's singing different songs. And of course, when he takes requests, they're like, "Hey, can you sing Brandy?" And he's like, "Hey, sure, I'll sing Brandy," right? So anytime you have a big hit like that, kind of a one-hit wonder, everybody wants to hear that song. So good for him. A great song, Looking Glass, Brandy, You're a Fine Girl. I'm going to guess that somewhere around 1970, maybe, 71, something like that. Another great song. Okay, let's go to line two and say good morning to Henry. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. You?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. You know, you're bringing up some memories here. I'm 77 years old brought up in the Bush Clona area of South Dartmouth here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember my father taking us out to Salvador's on a Sunday afternoon, taking the family out there.
Oh, yeah.
That was delicious ice cream, and it was homemade right there on the premises.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Salvador's was a dairy farm, and I don't know if you go as far back as I do, but I can remember when the milkmen used to have roots and deliver milk in glass bottles to...
Mm-hmm.
This was before the massive supermarkets came along, you know?
Right. I remember that when I was a little kid, we used to have a little box on the porch, and there was
cold milk,
and boy, the milk was really good, really cold. And
yeah, and a lot of the dairy, local dairy farms, like Ideal Dairy down here in Bliss Corner, and Freight's, and... Salvador's, and I'm trying to think, there was another, well, Hood used to deliver to us at our house, but you know, they all made ice cream, and they all delivered milk to the homes. And I also remember the old willow tree down there in the south end, down in the cove.
Mm-hmm.
They had good ice cream too.
Oh, no kidding. That breakfast place, where the breakfast places,
yeah, it became that later.
Mm-hmm.
They were primarily an ice cream stand in the beginning.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, like I say, I'm 77 years old, you know. I'm a little older than you, I believe.
A little bit. I just turned 64, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so. And behind them, of course, if you wanted the soft serve, you'd go down to the Dairy Queen.
Right, which is still there. The dairy is a Dairy Queen. Yeah, it's still there. We go there sometimes.
Yeah.
Get the soft serve.
Well, lately... I don't go, well, I still like ice cream, but God, the ice cream cones are so expensive now, it's like...
Yeah, right.
It's unbelievable what you get for your money, you know? It's not the same as it was in those days. I mean, you could get at the old Dairy Queen there, you could get a soft serve cone that was like about almost a foot high there.
Right.
For 25 cents, something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember when we used to go, right? It was 25 cents for one scoop, 35 for two, and I think 45 for three. So, that, you know, you're talking about a different time in terms of the money.
Yeah, there's been a lot of change over the years.
Yeah.
But, no, I remember Salvador's. It was very good ice cream.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you too. Bye now.
I'm talking a little bit about some of those ice cream places over there where, you know, we used to go. And one of the things about Salvador's, too, is, you know, we lived up near the Riccardi's area in New Bedford, up near Hathaway Road. So we jump in the car, and that was like a nice little ride, you know, 15 minutes or so, maybe 20, I guess. And you drive down Tucker Road, and you weave down the road, and you're pulling the Salvador's. You're going to the dirt parking lot, and you see people that are there, and you have ice cream, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah, it brings back some memories. Good morning. You're next.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
All right. So when I was, I grew up in Newport, and when my parents would go for ice cream, if they're going for the easy, quick, let's go for ice cream short run, we would go to Frosty Freeze in Middletown, which is still open today.
Frosty Freeze. I don't think I ever heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a, it's like a soft, it's a soft serve place. So I'll always remember like getting the cone in my hand, and within about 3 seconds, my down to my wrist is covered in chocolate ice cream.
Oh yeah, right. Especially if it's a hot
day. Never stay. Exactly. But then when they were really wanting something special and wanting to go for a drive, they would go to Gray's Ice Cream in Tiverton, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been Little Compton. I'm pretty sure it was Tiverton. It was just over the little old bridge there when you got across, and that was you know, scooped ice cream, but they had a ton of flavors. And my dad was a huge ice cream fan. And when late, and we always went to the Newport Creamery. And when my dad got dementia, this is kind of funny. You know, I'd pick him up in the car. He knew who I was, but he didn't know where he was. But he would say, "Go to the stop sign, take a left, and then go to the next one, take a left." And he would inevitably give me directions from his memory to the Newport Creamery so that he could get an awful.
Right, and that was like the last thing that probably he lost in the memory, but he remembered that more than anything else, right? See?
Oh, yeah, and so I buried him with a plastic Newport Creamery awful cup. So.
Oh, those things, man, they were so thick. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, he was, you give him a Creamery, he would smile all the way home, an awful, he would smile all the way home under that straw.
How many calories in one of those awful drinks?
I don't know, dude. It's like a large ice cream with milk, right?
Yeah, right, so, exactly.
Pretty big.
All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Paul Santos filling in for Tim Weisberg. If you're on the line, stand by. We'll be taking your call next here at WBSM. For the next to the last segment here at 1420 WBSM, 99.5 FM, Paul Santos filling in for Tim Weisberg, having a great time digging into the music library over here. Some Temptations, some Motown. We heard some Tavares before, because the thought went into my mind after they named that street Tavares Brothers Way. I thought, I want to hear a little Tavares this morning. So we put that on, too, as we take you through the final hour of the show. Let's go back to the telephones and say good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, sir. Listen, you talk about some great topics about the ice cream. If that's the case, it was probably sponsored by the Ice Cream Association. So I'm going to at least leave until at least 90, if not 100. if that's the case, it's because in one sitting, I usually have half a gallon.
Yeah, that's right. I think you're probably right about that, because it doesn't make sense that it's good for you, you know?
No. But you touched on some great things. You touched about the good news about the economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's look at the real numbers here. I just came from the grocery store. I got four bags, $124. I only bought three things of ground meat. That's the only meat I bought, Paul.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, we had inflation over the past few years, but
yes,
the price is not going to go back down to the way they were before.
No.
Yeah.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But this inflation should have never happened.
Well,
if we kept on drilling and kept the status quo with the oil that we were putting into the pool, into the world, that lowered the price. Everything is controlled by fuel, Paul. It, you know that.
Well, but other prices went up too. See, I believe my view is that it had to do with the pandemic, because during the pandemic, it started when Trump was there, Biden came in. I don't really think it mattered who the president was. You know, they had to print money and send out the stimulus checks. And anytime you flood the money supply – without the productivity to back it up,
that was
it's inflation.
That was the worst thing. I know people who want the brightest bulbs. I'd never forget where that money light came out. They bought those portable hot tubs, all this stupid stuff.
Oh, that was the money didn't go to the right place either. It was supposed to go to help people who lost businesses and stuff like that. No question about it. Yeah, that's true.
It didn't. So let's go back to the economy again. As you talked about how, like, you have a piece about, you know, that we should cool the temperature, be more respectful of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's not forget, we're going on 8 years that people like me who have more conservative views have been called a racist. Mm-hmm.
I pointed that out, that my conservative friends should not be called racists and Nazis and all that stuff.
But they have been. Now that the crap is hitting the fan, everything that the other side has been saying about this president is true. Okay, it's absolutely true. He should never been in office.
But that name calling happens the other direction too. You know?
No, I understand that. But you have to say, with the two candidates, especially with this candidate now, Trump, his worst weakness is his mouth. If someone just duct tape his mouth, he'll win.
Hey, there's one area where I agree with you.
He'll totally win. I agree with you.
Oh, yeah, you're right. If he just kind of controlled himself. Yeah, 100%.
One thing you have to say about Trump, in his whole 8 years, he never attacked the people who are voting for the other person. He attacked the person.
He never attacked the voters. Yeah, but I mean,
you
know.
He never heard him say extreme liberals.
He called Vice President Harris, what did he say? She was crazy or something?
I know that. But he called her. He called her.
Yeah,
Paul.
But not the voters. But not the voters. Voters. Right.
He never called the voters. Even a couple of weeks ago, you had President Biden, the MAGA extremes. The MAGA extreme. MAGA extreme.
I gotcha.
Now that we want to say kumbaya when the crap has hit the fan and we know this president. No, Paul.
No, I understand.
For four years, your view. We know this president was not up to the task. The man has some serious issues, and now they cannot hide it anymore. So what did they do? They do what they do. All the people, 14 million people voted for President Biden in the primary, and that's their right. But no. We have someone selected for you. We're going to select our candidate.
The person that they voted for stepped down, so what are you going to do? Now the Democratic Party has to pick somebody else.
They didn't know during the primary poll that this man was not up to the task.
Well, he wouldn't quit. I got to let you go. But thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. All right. Thank you very much. We've got to go to this break, and then we'll pick up the discussion here at 1420 WBSM. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg on his beautiful July Friday here in New Bedford. We're in New Bedford. Chris McCarthy all queued up and ready to go in just a few minutes. Here at WBSM, thank you for your call so far. Talking about all kinds of fun stuff. And I know that last caller, he calls all the time. I enjoy listening to him. He's never really said anything to me. I don't think that was too inflammatory or something like that. We go back and forth, which, a healthy debate is good. And this is probably an area where I disagree with some of the other folks here. And that is that I've heard some people say, okay, if President Biden can't run for president, then he probably can't be president, right? So I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, I don't know if I totally disagree with that or I totally agree with that, because I'm thinking to myself, right, I just turned 64, okay? Well, I'm almost 20 years younger than the president. Chris McCarthy is laughing over there. I'm almost 20 years younger than President Biden, right? And I'm thinking, I don't know if I would want to work two full-time jobs. It's a full-time job to be president and it's a full-time job to run for president. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I can handle that. So isn't it possible that there's one school of thought that is, okay, running for president requires you to run all around the country, go to Michigan, make a speech, get on a plane, fly to Pennsylvania, make another speech, get in a plane, go to a rally somewhere else, sit down and talk to your campaign manager about ads, what ads are appropriate, all that kind of stuff. And then at the same time, you're trying to be president at the same time, right? So those are two full-time jobs. Could an argument be made that, okay, I'm going to not be a candidate anymore. I'm not going to be traveling around the country. I'm not going to be making speeches. I'm not going to be going to stump speeches and rallies and all this stuff. I'm just going to focus on being president. And being president, I mean, you can do a lot just in the Oval Office, just at the Resolute Desk, dealing with, whatever bills come before you, which there probably isn't going to be that many now anyway. You have advisors that deal with what's going on with foreign policy. So I think you could make the argument, okay, just by not running for president, you've cut all your work in half. So now you've just gone from two full-time jobs to one full-time job, a very important full-time job, that's true. But I don't know that him stepping down at this point, I don't think that's really necessary. So I probably disagree with some of the folks out there on that one. But let's see what this next caller wants to talk about. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
I agree with you 1,000%. That's exactly what I was going to say. But, you know, what drives me crazy is that, you know, all you hear from this radio station is that he needs to step down. He needs to step down. He needs to step down. As soon as he steps down, oh, gee, now he can't run the country. He can't run the country. Inflation is. When you know, the last call, when you told him, explained about inflation, right? I've never seen anybody that goes, he must have a house full of groceries. Every time he's on the radio station, well, I just came from the grocery store.
Well, maybe he's going to have a cookout. Yeah, maybe he's going to invite us over. You want to go to a cookout?
Unreal. I mean, I don't know. It's so annoying.
Right. All right. Well, what's on your mind? We only got a few minutes left.
Oh, one more thing is that, you know, this thing about Trump never attacks the other people. Are you for real?
No, I mean, I think he uses a lot of inflammatory language. I think that's his brand. I think he says a lot of stuff that I don't like. I mean, he is one of the more inflammatory politicians that we've ever seen, I think.
He hasn't shut up for 7 years. I mean, most presidents, when they're not in the office, they let the other president govern. He hasn't shut up for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Come on.
All right.
And that guy needs to go sleep somewhere and jump underneath a rock.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. All right. Thank you very much. There's just about 3 minutes left. So if you want to get in, you better do it quick at 508-996-0500. Chris McCarthy coming up next. I don't know if Chris heard any of the show, but he had Chris Markey on the other day. And what a great interview that was. I really enjoyed that. And I agree with almost everything that Chris Markey says. So, I mean, it was really great to have him break down the Karen Reed trial. And, you know, I haven't really followed it. And, I go to the dentist office. I go to the doctor's office, and as soon as they know I'm an attorney, they go, hey, what do you think of the Karen Reed trial? And I go, you don't understand. This is what I do, right? So I really don't want to come home after dealing with a trial all day or a hearing all day and then come home and listen to another one. You know what I mean? So I wasn't somebody that wanted to follow it. There were other people that are attorneys that did. I think Chris sounded like at least he had some knowledge of the case, and he gave his opinion on what he thought was, you know, the proof, whether or not it was, you know, they could prove the motor vehicle homicide as opposed to a murder one and a murder two. We thought that was a stretch. So that was interesting. But I heard him say how he was a supporter of Joe Biden. That was pretty interesting. And then he said he was a supporter of the governor, the former governor, that the moderate Republican governor, Charlie Baker. He was kind of in line with him. He's also a supporter of Kamala Harris. So that was very interesting. And, you know, I thought that was pretty good that he got his side of the story out there. You know, there is a lot of people that poke fun of the Democrats, you know. There's one sitting on the couch right over there. Why do you say Democrat Party? That's a little annoying thing. You know, it's a Democratic Party. Come on, that's the name of the party. I know you guys are trying to just rib us just a little bit. I know you are. But, you know, hey, the people that are conservatives shouldn't be called racist. They shouldn't be called, you know, Nazis. And the people on the other side shouldn't be called communists and, you know, other kind of stuff either, and Marxist. I mean, you know, John Mitchell's not a Marxist. Chris Markey's not a Marxist. Tom Quinn is like a very, you know, hardcore. Tom Quinn's a Republican? I don't think so. I think he's a Democrat. He's a Republican in name only, or no, he's a Republican in name. I don't know, whatever. But anyway, Chris McCarthy's always got a great show. He's coming up next. I've had a lot of fun filling in. I'm going to be back again, I think, in a couple of weeks to fill in for Tim. It's always a blast. We appreciate you calling up and giving you topics. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about today was just try to turn the temperature down. We can have a vigorous debate back and forth. You know, like Chris used to do with Marcus. When Marcus was here, they'd have a vigorous debate back and forth, but they liked each other. They were friends. They probably went out for coffee after, you know. There was no name calling. I mean, that's what we like to see. And so that's what I am advocating today. I came in with this little chip on my shoulder. I wanted everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.